Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Cool practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Very excited about it. Having a new friend on the show, Charles Hughes is here. He's analyst with economics21.org, at a Manhattan Institute website that's run by our good friend Diana Furchtgott-Roth, and formerly with the Cato Institute, and you've seen his writings in many of the publications out there, and he's here today to talk to us about some articles that appeared in one of them was in U.S. News and World Report on pipelines. Charles Hughes, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Congratulations on working with our dear friend Diana Furchtgott-Roth. You'll go far if you do what she says to do.
Yeah, no, it's been great working with her. I've really enjoyed it.
She's the best, Diana.
Oh yes.
You tell her I said that.
So will do. I'll pass it along.
So okay, we all know about this shift in petroleum products in the United States in our frankly energy independence that we've achieved over the last few years. A lot of it because of fracking. A lot of new natural gas was found, but also a lot of regular fines, right? We've got some fines up in the Dakotas, we got them in Alaska, we got them more down in Mexico, Gulf of Mexico. We're in a unique position in America, aren't we? We're almost awash in petroleum.
Well, that's exactly right. We've seen a surge in production over the past decade. Crude oil and petroleum exports have doubled since 2010. Natural gas exports.
We're exporters, right? We're not importers anymore. We're exporters now.
Our exports have been growing. We've been producing more and more in new locations, in new natural gas plays, kind of like you alluded to. It's a very exciting time, and we're having new innovations in fracking as well, which is kind of expanding the scope of what we can do.
Right. And with natural gas and the increased technology and increased building of liquid natural gas stations so they can be transported around the world, that's a sea change, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. And I think part and parcel with this increased production, you've got to get the product from where it's produced, from the wellhead, to where it needs to go,
right.
And that's where the pipelines come in.
Well, let's talk about the different ways of doing that, though. The classic way would be by truck, right?
Right. You've got road, you've got rail, you've got barges, you've got oil tankers, and then you've got pipelines. So there's a range of different modes been used.
A lot of people don't realize this, maybe, but the barge, the waterway, is the cheapest per In terms of energy and cost, that's one of the cheapest, as I understand it. Per ton mile, you can't beat a barge option.
Right, they've all got kind of their own unique comparative advantages. Barges
mm-hmm.
and pipelines on a per ton mile basis tend to be cheaper. Pipelines, because they're kind of on a fixed route, obviously, they kind of lock you into
right.
a route, so therefore a longer-term, more stable play. Road and rail are a little more expensive. Road is a little more flexible, which can sometimes be appealing when prices are changing or production is changing. So they all have a role to play in energy transportation.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you can't put them on a barge. You can't put it on a barge if there's not a river nearby. I mean,
exactly.
North Dakota is not exactly, is a long way from the Gulf of Mexico, and probably and a lot of it is probably from the Mississippi River. I'm not sure how navigable it is way up there. And roads are good because for a lot of obvious reasons, but that's a lot of trucks on the highway around all the other folks too, right? I mean, that's a lot of exposure there. So you like the idea of the pipeline, don't you? How does a pipeline compare in cost to, say, the other low method, which is the barge?
Well, pipelines have you have to do a lot of capital expenditure to build them initially. But then once they're established, they are cheaper than road and rail alternatives on a per-ton-mile basis. So once you have the commitment from the producer and people who are going to contract with you to ship it down to either a holding station or to an end market, it is cheaper on a per-ton-mile basis. And I think that's part of where the appeal comes from. And it's also just more reliable. With rail, if it's harvest time, for example, you might have to compete with corn shipments or something else that could affect you when you got to get your product.
All the different products. Absolutely. And we're talking about pipelines for natural gas and crude oil, right?
Exactly, yes.
Hold on to that thought, Charles. We're going to come back with Charles Hughes after this break and talk about...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.